said, these are just regular people you're about to hear. Regular people. And so, if you're wondering whether there's more to this life than just the short physical existence that we have, you're going to want to listen during the evening, and I think at some point you'll begin to convince yourself, and for that reason alone, it's well worth the listen. East of the Rockies, you're on the air, and the first caller this night, good morning.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi. What is your first name?
My first name is Dave.
Yo, Dave. Where are you and what you up to?
I am in northeastern Ohio, and I am working.
You're working?
Yes.
Oh, you're working. What kind of work
yes.
do you do?
I'm a police officer.
A police officer. Okay. You know, that makes it particularly interesting. Something happened while you were on duty?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, really? All right. Fire away.
Well, I've been a police officer about 10.5 years, and on the south end of the city in which I work, there are two large estates right across the street from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And about 4 years ago, my buddy Joe and I were working the midnight shift, and we got called to one of the estates about 12:30, 12:45 in the morning. Somebody had thought maybe there were some deer hunters on the property. They have a large wooded area on the property there. So we went to check it out.
Was it a call, you know, people with guns, that kind of deal?
They got, all we got was that they thought maybe there were deer hunters in there. I don't think they actually heard shots. They may have seen.
Yeah, well, still, if you know there's a gun at the call, your head's up. All right.
Well, absolutely, yeah. We weren't going to venture actually into the woods until we figured out what we had. So.
I hear you.
We got there, and we were standing along the edge of the wood line trying to listen to see if we heard voices or, you know, movement or anything in the woods. And after a few minutes, I heard, as clear as day, no question about it, the sound of a small child laughing. And I immediately turned my flashlight on, and I started looking. It sounded like it came in from just a few feet inside the wood line, and I could see probably 15, 20 feet into the wood line.
Right.
And I'm looking, and I don't see anything, and I don't hear any movement, no leaves rustling, no nothing. And when I had turned my light on, Joe had turned his on at the same time, and I asked him, I said, did you hear what I just heard? And he looked at me, and he said, I think so. It sounded like a little kid laughing.
Mm-hmm. Last thing you'd expect to find in the woods late at night.
Exactly. So I said, okay, so we looked around a little bit, and we didn't see anything, hung around for maybe another 10 minutes, and nothing came of the call. So we left, and we had referred to it a couple of times over the years, you know, just kind of jokingly.
Mm.
Well, fast forward ahead to about 4 months ago, Joe and another officer got called back to the same estate, this time for an alarm at the main house. They got there, and they were met by the caretaker, who explained that the power line had been cut to the house, and that's why the alarm had gone off. And
mm-hmm.
they were standing outside talking to him.
Right.
And Joe was, they were near the woods, and Joe was kind of looking around a little uneased. And the other officer, Ron, asked him what the problem was, and Joe said, these woods just kind of give me the creeps. And that was all he said.
Mm-hmm.
And the caretaker looked at him and kind of chuckled and said, why, have you heard the kids laughing at you from the woods?
Oh, really?
And Joe was obviously dumbfounded and said, actually, yeah, I did. What's the story? Well, apparently, according to the caretaker, the same family had owned this property for generations and generations. And years ago, one of the first couple of generations to own the property had two small children that used to play in the woods there, and
yes.
they both drowned in the pond that was
yes.
in the woods.
Yes.
And ever since then, according to the caretaker, the family and the maintenance people and caretakers and visitors and whatnot have all reported hearing these kids laughing from the woods.
God, that just scares the hell out of me, and I'll tell you why. Have you heard some of the shows that I've done with EVP?
Yes, I have.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, I know, and so many of them appear to be small children, you know, and as you're considering life after death, man, the last thing you want to imagine is that a child remains on this earth as it was after something, for example, like that.
Right.
I mean, that's horrifying. And even to the EVP people, it's horrifying. And so there you go. And so so you think that what was heard was a ghost, and it was a child.
Well, I know when I heard it, it was, there was no mistake in it when I heard it. And like I said, Joe said he heard the same thing. I didn't have to ask him, did you hear the kid laugh? He just said, I heard what sounded like a kid laughing.
God, I really appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Art.
All right, take care. There's a police officer. And as I said, the last thing you want to contemplate is that if there is another life, that it's spent on this earth, perhaps in the same form eternally. There is one counterbalance argument to that possibility, and that is that it is only an echo of you, that your soul has moved on, and that what remains to be heard like by those two police officers is only an echo of some sort of your life. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
My name is Dan from Greenfield Park, Quebec.
Hello, Dan.
Yes. Just about the last caller, I realized that the story was the children had died on the estate, and yes. The woods may very well be haunted, but it has to be remembered that a lot of times you are called with children's laughter because it's very tempting to go and help a distressed child.
Well, that would be
true. You really don't know what you're going to have when you get there, you know?
Yeah, that certainly would be true. Almost anybody would attempt to rescue a child. And I really should have asked them why they didn't venture into the woods, but anyway.
Yeah, that's not why you called, right?
Yes.
Okay, my story. I was an Army brat. My father was in the Canadian Forces. And when I was around 10 years old, it was the mid-1950s, we were stationed in Western Command in Alberta, Canada, and it was a desolate posting. The old story of the prairies where you can watch your dog run away for 5 days.
You know? Yes.
And my mother originally was from Glasgow, Scotland, and she had come over as a young girl, so she had been in Canada for 30 years or so, or 25 years. And their only contact at home was in the old days. It was, you know, you didn't phone. It was the old form airmail letters, and they went back and forth over the years. But she had never seen her family or visited Scotland before. So one evening, this is back in Alberta, we had gone to bed. We'd been in bed for hours, and my mother went up to bed. And in the tradition of the 50s, my father locked up and secured all the windows, and he followed her to bed. And sometime in the small hours of the morning, my mother woke up and felt an urge to go downstairs and pour herself a glass of water from the kitchen sink, something she can't ever remember having done before.
Uh-huh.
So she simply used the light from the staircase to get down the stairs. And as she got to the bottom of the stairs, she just froze, because sitting in her armchair in the living room was an old woman. And the old woman calmly gazed at her. My mother, it was probably a few seconds, but my mother said she felt rooted there for minutes. And then she was terrified. She ran up the stairs and she broke into her and my father's bedroom crying. And he woke up and he said, okay, well, I'll go downstairs and find out what's going on. So he came down the stairs and checked all the doors, all the windows, and of course there was no one in the house.
Nothing, huh?
No one. So the next morning, when they got up, my mother was still pretty upset. She hadn't got much sleep. My father said, well, I could stay home today and take care of the kids, whatever, and I'll go to work and just be with you, And she said, no, go ahead to work. I'll be okay. And have coffee with friends and I'll get over it. So he went off to work and he came back within an hour. Because when he arrived at work, there was a telegram on his desk, and he opened a telegram, and the telegram said that my grandmother, my mother's mother, had died the night before when lightning struck the tenement houses in Glasgow.
Wow.
In the ensuing fire.
And so there she was.
And she was, well, my mother hadn't seen, visited her, but, I mean, the old lady she saw would have put her in the long brown hair. Now then, when she looked back, it would have been exactly as she would picture my
Do you think daughter. It's that the departed wants, I don't know, somehow to comfort the living, let them know there is still an existence,
well,
I'm still here, something, I don't know.
it's really something, because they repeated your 1993 show, I believe, last night.
That's right.
And you had at the end of the program, you summed up by saying that before the souls depart, they want to visit the friends they perhaps want to.
All right, buddy. I really appreciate the call. That's what would make sense to me. You would want to communicate, of course, to you, the closest one to you, to let that person know that you're all right, that it's not all over, that things are going to be okay, and they too will be okay. Very few by percentage make it. But that's a pretty, pretty interesting story, I would say, wouldn't you? I'm presuming they compared photographs and that the identity was firmly made, but you can see why somebody would want to get back. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Glenn from North Bend, Oregon.
Hello, Glenn. How are you doing?
Doing great. My little story starts when I'm about 25 years ago, 17 years old, and we used to take a shortcut through the woods in Freeport, New York, Long Island. And heading towards the shortcut, it saved me about 12 blocks and had to go through like a marshy swamp area. About 100 yards in, it's dark. It's in the back of an old railroad station place, had a low-lit light. Could barely see. You could see 20, 30 yards or something. About 100 yards into here, had to follow a trail along the fence. I sat down to smoke a cigarette. And I'm sitting there, 17-year-old, you know, I'm not scared of much, especially growing up in New York, all kinds of surprises.
Man, when you're 17, you're eternal.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's right.
Until after this experience. And out in the marsh, I'm sitting down, and out in the marsh, I hear some dog tags, you know, and they clanking together. And I didn't think much of it. I thought of dogs out there just goofing off. And as I sat there, the chains just started coming closer, the tags. You know, they were clinking and clanking and started coming closer.
Huh.
So I'm thinking a dog's on its way, and no big deal, no need for alarm. And as my ears, I couldn't really see. To my left was a creek that came out of a pipe that came under the property, and it wrapped around in front of me, about a 10, 12-yard drop to the creek. The creek's 10 yards. Then the sandbank on the other side, and then a bunch of marshy-type small trees. And then you could see maybe 10, 20 yards past the creek. And here come those clanking sounds coming closer and closer, and my ears were telling me that should be visible soon. Should be coming into my range.
I ought to be seeing whatever this is, yes.
And I just still thought it was a dog, so I'm expecting to hear a little critter, you know, coming through the grass and the leaves and whatnot.
Yes.
And I hear two footsteps.
Huh.
I hear a something with two footsteps.
As in thump, thump.
Well, yeah, thump, thump, and it's coming towards me.
Not a little French poodle.
No, not a French poodle, not a German shepherd.
Mm.
Two distinct footsteps coming through, and you can hear the grass, you know, walking in the dog chains are still clinking.
Huh.
And that's about when my alarm went off. I'm thinking, okay, this is a problem. There's no way you can think that this is anything but a problem.
Something big.
Something's wrong. And my ears were telling me that I ought to be able to see this thing. And it should be right there on the other side of the creek. And this kind of dragged on for a couple minutes. It didn't just walk up.
You ever seen a deer that was being hunted, whether by man or a predator? It doesn't matter. The deer, usually just before it's pounced on or shot, it gets this invisible communication, and it suddenly knows it's in mortal danger. Kind of like that, you mean?
Exactly like that.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking serial killer. I'm thinking something I didn't know.
Just bad.
But I was just bad, and I was ready to go because I should have seen it. My ears were telling me it was there, but I couldn't see it. And I'm looking around trying to figure, should I go back to the right or should it go to the left? And I'm in New York, so it's not necessarily always a friendly place. And I'm out in the middle of this sump, and you can't see that good. To get to the back street of the neighborhood I was heading to, I had to make a left about 10 yards, go across the pipe to the right, go another 25 yards, and then up the side of the hill and bring me to the dead-end street up there into the neighborhood where I'd have about 30 more blocks to my house.
Uh-huh.
And the trail on the other side went away from the creek. So whatever should have been down there on that bank would have had about a 30-yard trip to where it was, and I had a 30-yard trip. So I got up and bolted. I figured I could beat it.
Uh-huh.
I hang to the left, run to the right, and I'm in full sprint. And I'm athletic type. I'm 6'2".
I understand running. If you're in that kind of fear, running is good.
Running is good.
Yeah, okay.
And just as I got to the point where I would go up this hill, 10, 12-foot shadow, red, beady eyes, stepped up from the bank and was standing right
in front. God, I hate red eyes.
I hate red eyes.
I mean, of all the... So, how 10 feet?
10 or 12.
10 or 12 feet. And red eyes.
Huge. Have
horns. See, after that, for me, it wouldn't be a problem because I would have a heart attack and fall down dead out of danger completely and on to the next life.
That would have been okay, but I froze. It has horns. It's just an outline. It's dark, as dark could be.
Horns?
Well, it had an... All you could see was an outline. You couldn't see it. Looking into this creature,
yes.
It was as dark as space.
Yes, sir.
Red beady eyes. Mm. Beady eyes. Not just red glowing eyes, red beady eyes. Mm-hmm. And I froze.
Uh-huh.
I just stuck. And I don't know how long I was there, sitting there contemplating some kind of communication coming at me, like, step into me or something. I didn't know. But I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. So I did what any red-blooded American 17-year-old would do in this situation. I turned around, and I ran. And I ran. And I didn't stop. I ran all the way home, and this is like 40 blocks.
Yeah.
You know, this is like 2 miles. And my mom and dad, I came home sweating and huffing, and my parents kind of looked at me odd. And, you know, I was a good-raised, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, Catholic boy. And I was in almost shock, and I couldn't explain to them what had happened. I didn't dare. They would have committed me. You know, they would have sent me to private school or something.
So you've kept this to yourself ever since?
I've told one person in my life.
But not your mom, not your dad?
No, I told, because I grew up in Catholic schools, and I tried to tell my priest.
All right, briefly, because we don't have a lot of time, what do you think you encountered? What do you think that was?
It was just a definition to tell me that life just isn't what I had figured out it was at that point. It was just something that it alienated me from what I had considered normal.
There's no chance it was a dream, obviously.
Oh, no.
No drugs, none of that baloney. So.
No.
So you're certain, you know what you saw. What do you now think? This is years later. What do you think you saw?
I think I saw a bridge towards wizardry or shamanism or something, that I had an opportunity, had I done something maybe, other than being totally afraid,
yes,
that maybe I could have maybe launched myself into another plane, because certain things have happened over the last 25 years.
You mean, for example, if you had approached that thing, if you had just sort of said, okay, let's rock, then you might just be gone. I mean, one of those people that just disappears, and you'd be somewhere else right now.
Well, I thought I'd either be dead,
yeah,
or I would still be here with a lot more power.
Well, you're still here, so I don't know about the power part, but you're still here anyway, so apparently you made the right choice. All right, this is Ghost to Ghost AM, 2005 style. I'm Art Bell from the High Desert in the middle of the night. If you think you can take it, turn the radio up and the lights down.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog with a...